Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. The Shepherd's Crook exists to provide care, counsel, and resources for pastors. You can get more information at theshepherdscrook.co. My name is Jared Sparks, and I'm a pastor coming alongside other pastors, reminding them of the chief pastor. Welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. This is episode 182, I believe. I mean, how many times now have I said the wrong episode at the very first part of the podcast episode only to post the episode and realize I was like 10 off? So maybe it's episode 182. Hey guys, thanks so much for coming back. A couple things before we get going today. We're continuing, obviously, our series on pastoral ministry and the regulative principle pastoring. Today we're going to talk about shepherding your own family well, which is the second pastoral priority. But first, I want to remind you, what in the world are you waiting for? Get signed up and registered for the Shepherd's Crook Intensive. We leave next Thursday. We get back next Saturday. We're going to have 2 days on the river, Jack's Fork River. We're going to hear 4 sessions from Scott Tungay talking about taking dominion. And so, guys, it's going to be a lot of fun. This is open to fathers and sons. Anybody, any man is who's able to come, willing to come, you can come. Bring your son. It's $25 off if you bring your son for his ticket. So it's $175 if you want to sleep in a tent along the river, if you want to sleep in a little hotel kind of thing on the side of the river. It's $275. That covers all your food, all your expenses. Just get there. Circle B Campground, Eminence, Missouri. If you're camping out, then you need to bring your own tent, your own sleeping bag, and all that kind of stuff. Want you to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. Also, the sponsor of the month is Reformation Coffee. If you don't know about Reformation Coffee, check them out on Instagram. Go to the website. We're going to be having links and ads for this whole month. This week, we don't have the ad yet, but it will be running the rest of the month. And we're going to be doing a giveaway with Reformation Coffee as well. And so you want to check out Reformation Coffee. All right, today we are talking about pastoral priorities. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we're going to dive right in. Father, we just thank you for all you're doing. As men, we want to shepherd or manage our own households well, because you've called us to do that, so we want to do that well. And for every man listening in, they want to do that as well. Even if they're not in pastoral ministry, they want to lead their family well, they want to serve their family well, and they want to manage what's going on in their home to the best of their ability. And so give them the strength to do that. And God, help us as men to take charge, take lead, and lead sacrificially, and do this in all the ways that you've called us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So these pastoral priorities, the origin of them go back until 7 or 8 years ago, before we started at our church, Christ Church Carbondale. And I actually had put a resume out in another church, and Jordan asked, you know, if you get this job, you know, what's our life going to look like? And I just said, well, you know, life's going to look similar, because pastoral ministry isn't dictated to us by a church. Pastoral ministry is given to us by God and His Word. So I started to unfold and roll out these pastoral priorities and just saying, hey, listen, our life's going to look similar no matter what, because these principles and these commandments are the same to pastors. And so we started working through, and I started working through, and kind of just articulating and putting together these pastoral priorities, or these regulative principle pastoring principles. So last week we talked about how if you're going to be the man that God's called you to be as a pastor, first and foremost, you got to be God's man. You got to be a man after God's own heart. You have to know and understand the gospel of Jesus. Your identity cannot be in the work. Before you're a pastor, you are a Christian man. And that's the area that so many men fall into when they get into moral failures or sin failures. They get into just failing in the basics of following Christ and the basics of spiritual disciplines. We walk through the 246 men that Steve Farrar talked about from the Howard Hendricks study that had these moral failures, these disqualifying sins that moved them out of the ministry. And it was just in the basic areas of Christian manhood. And so we talked about you have to be a Christian man. Now today, we're talking about managing our own house well, because the household, the place that you dwell right now, is a micro, and the church is the macro version of the same thing. Now, it's not a one-to-one. There are differences between your household and the household of God. You know, Jesus differentiates, for instance, his household from his blood relatives. Well, I say blood relatives, but from his natural family, by saying, those who are my family are those that do the will of my Father. Hint, side note here, one of the reasons I'm Baptist. We'll talk about that more in the future. But we get this from 1 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3, and Titus chapter 1. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He, speaking of the elder, must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Pretty clear, right? If you can't manage a house, well, then you can't manage the church. You can't do what God has called you to do within God's people. In other words, your family, this is your first priority. This priority here, before the priority of the church, exists right in front of you in the place that you live, in the square footage that you dwell, that God has determined that you dwell, and they're right in front of you every day. And you've got to manage this well first. Now, the tragedy of the preacher's kids, you guys have all heard the PK. When pastors identify primarily with their work, what ends up happening is that pastor leaves a wake of damage. Certainly, he's going to be respected by some people. You heard me talk about this last week or sometime recently, or maybe it was in the sermon in the men's discipleship group. I know it was in the men's discipleship group the other night at my house when we had the guys over. A workaholic is respected by everyone except his family. Okay, he's going to earn respect from people. I know a guy, when I'm thinking about this, that pops into my mind. I've worked with him, and he sat down with me, and he said, son, I blew it with my family, and I can only remember maybe once or never, it was either never or once, when my children were young, playing with them in the yard because I was working. I left at 6 and got back at 9 every single day. His identity was tied up with the work. He had this weird guilt and weird kind of thing going on that if he was getting remunerated for his work from the church, that he had to give his entire life to the people other than his family. Well, he ended up leaving a wake of damage. There's a lot of other people that respected him, that loved him, but it was this, you just saw this, just havoc. His household was not managed well, and he was disqualified for ministry for decades and yet kept doing the work. When you identify with the work, when you think I am a pastor first before you're a Christian, when you think the primary role of my life is pastoral ministry, you're going to neglect your family and you're going to go try to manage this church and your family is just going to be the collateral damage. And unfortunately, many pastors never learn that. So we have to manage our household well. We don't idolize the household and all that kind of stuff, but I tell you what, the fear of the making idols out of everything, you can get into making idols out of everything. You know, it's like idolizing idolatry kind of thing. Love your family well. Don't be afraid that your affections for your family are more than that of Jesus. I mean, you love Christ. You think about Christ. You give your life for Christ and daily think about what he's done for you. And maybe there's a guy out there that is idolizing his family and neglecting the work. You should stop doing that. You need to work hard. We shouldn't be, you know, hiding from the work that God has called us to outside of the home, meaning the work he's called us to in pastoral ministry, because we're spending so much time with our family. However, we need pastors who recognize that if you're going to manage your household well, then you're going to have to spend time with your family. You're going to have to order your schedule, do your work before they get up. Like right now, I get up at 4 o'clock every single morning because I want to get ahead. I want to do the work that I could be doing during the daytime beforehand because I want to get ahead because I want to spend time with my family and be done by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to be done and be able to spend time with my family or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on some days to be able to hang out, go on walks, spend time outside, do the work that needs to be done outside with my sons. Okay, so manage your household. Now, the household, like I said, is not necessarily a one-to-one comparison with the church. However, in pastoral ministry, it is the training ground. I would be very cautious. People say, well, what about single guys? I would be very cautious about making single men elders in the church. It should be the exception, not the rule. Because what we get here when it comes to this training ground is a household. And if you're going to be an elder or manager of God's church, then you need the training ground to prepare yourself and to get ready. And so we need to be very wary, very cautious. People come to mind, you know, well, the Apostle Paul, you know, obviously. But the Apostle Paul was more of an evangelist, pastor, apostle, as he was an apostle, but he was traveling and he wasn't in one location for a very long time and he wasn't building a household the way we are called to build households and the way the average typical pastor in, let's say, the island of Crete is building a household. That it was a different thing. Paul's ministry was uniquely different than a local church elder. So as a pastor, we're going to have to work on building up our household, and that's the training ground for us to become better pastors. So as I'm becoming a better husband, as I'm becoming a better father, well, I'm becoming a better pastor. Okay? The tragedy is those who try to become a better husband and try to become a better father by trying to be a better pastor. That's not the order here. That's not the sequential order here. You cannot become a better husband and you cannot become a better father by being a better pastor. You're actually a terrible pastor when you try to do it that way. The way you become a better pastor is through shepherding your own family well. That's right in front of you. We have to have an exemplary home. It's not a perfect home, clearly. There's going to be areas in all of our lives in pastoral ministry where we can grow. I mean, we're men, right? I mean, we're still dealing with indwelling sin. We're still dealing with, you know, figuring out and learning how to live with our wives in an understanding way, and we want to treat her accordingly. She is the weaker vessel, and we're loving her well and sacrificing her and for her and loving her as Christ loved the church as we lead her. So we're still growing in that with parenting as a father. We're growing in what it means to discipline our children in an effective manner over the long haul. We're growing in intentionality in raising them up and giving rites of passage to our sons and our daughters and raising them up into manhood or womanhood. So we're growing in these areas. But the pastor's home should be exemplary. It should be a model of fiscal responsibility. We shouldn't have a credit score, you know, of 400. You know, I mean, we should be knowing how to manage our own finances. So let's just ask the question. If the households of the members of your church were the same as your household, would the church be healthy or unhealthy? And if the answer is unhealthy, then you should, to pull the popular phrase from a big ministry, you've got to focus on your family. You're disqualified for ministry. If your home is not in order, if you are not managing your house well, then resign. Do something else until you can get your household in order. It's, again, when your identity is not tied to the work, when you realize my family's not doing well, you can give up even faithful and effective ministry out here because you have more and a more important ministry in your home where you live. One example of this was Dr. James Dobson Sr. and Dr. James Dobson Jr. Now, focus on the family. Don't recommend everything. And James Dobson Jr. is now doing something completely different than focus on the family. But that ministry was really helpful for a lot of people in the 80s and 90s. And one of the things I think is so powerful is the story of the beginnings of Focus on the Family. This is something that we need to learn. We need to go back even just 30 and 40 years into ministries that we look back on. And I'm a older millennial. And a lot of times we look back and you know, kind of smirk a little bit at ministries in the 80s and 90s and think it's a little cheesy and silly or whatever. There's a lot of good stuff there in the midst of a lot of silly, cheesy. All right. It's a given. There's a lot of ridiculous stuff. However, Dr. James Dobson Sr. was a traveling evangelist. Okay, which is not a wise thing to do when you have children, all right? Traveling evangelist, traveling and had this, you know, quote-unquote, successful ministry, preaching revivals and conferences and all this kind of stuff. Well, his wife was dealing with a troubled teen at home, James Dobson Jr., and he was really struggling in life and rebelling and all this kind of stuff, and she's like, honey, I need you home. So what Dr. James Dobson Sr. did is he canceled all of his speaking engagements. He just canceled them. Done. And he went home. He got a different job. He worked from home. And he focused on his family until all the years of his growing up years of James Dobson Jr. were gone and done. And he moved on. And then he went back. And his ministry just dwindled over those years because he had just stopped, you know, being out there, stopped preaching and all that kind of stuff. And yet, the impact of those years has been felt by far more people than if he was just continuing to be on this conference circuit, because he impacted the life of his son, and God used him, the life of his son, and then God used his son in ways in families all across this country and world. And so when you focus on the right things, okay, when you manage your own household well, when you do what God has called you to do, you can have a clean conscience and you can look up and hold your head high knowing that God is working in you and your family, and you can do this effective ministry out here within the local church knowing that if God's doing what he's doing in your family and the lives of those in our church, and if this is replicated, our church is going to be healthier. However, if your wife is unhealthy, if your kids are unhealthy, then you're disqualified for ministry. Just resign. Remember, you're not first and foremost a pastor. You're not first and foremost a pastor. You're first and foremost a Christian under the law of God when it comes to qualifications of being an elder. And so your pastoral priority is to shepherd your own family well before you shepherd the church. Guys, thanks so much for watching and tuning in. This is the Shepherd's Creek Podcast. Please leave a rating or review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast on Gab TV. Thank you so much for subscribing. If you want to support the channel, you certainly can do that. And I want to thank you. We are going to be rolling out hats and pint glasses or glasses like not pint glasses, but glasses that you can drink out of. And those are going to be available. Anybody that gives more than $25 is going to get a hat. Anybody that gives $35 is going to get a hat and a glass. And those are going to be rolling out here in the next month or so. I want to thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.